Today, there's a lot going on, but hopefully we can get ourselves in the right direction. If you'd like to, turn in your Bibles to the book of Exodus. We're going to be in Exodus chapter 2. All right, how many of you here have a hard time hearing sometimes? Everybody look around, okay? When you give prayer requests, we need you to help us. Exactly, right? We need you, I know it's not easy. Some of you are like, I'm scared to death to even say a prayer request. We want you to share your prayer requests. But it will help us so much. If you can project a little bit when you're sharing the prayer request, see, my voice even's already going, so that we can hear what your prayer request is, okay? We thought about bringing a mic around to everybody. We knew that would scare some of you half to death, so we didn't do that. But if you can speak it out, we want to hear so that we can pray, okay? It'll do us all a favor. The title of today's message is Crazy Faith of Our Mothers. Diane, can you do the other one? I thought maybe this one was what I was going to go with first, the faith of our crazy mothers. But I think we'll go back to the other one, and we're going to look at crazy faith of our mothers. We're going to look at three moms in the Bible today who had crazy faith. And I want you to be encouraged by them. And not only is this just for moms, but this is for everybody to be challenged about your faith and how you work it out. So we're going to work through that today. Our first one is going to be Jochebed, the mother of Moses. So let's look in Exodus chapter 2 and verse 1. Exodus chapter 2 and verse 1. The word of God says, "And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months." Verse 3. "And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she hid it in the flags by the river's brink." This is the story of Moses. Not everybody's story about their mom is the same, but I would tell you that for many believers, they have a mom of influence in their life, whether it's a grandmother or a mother or a mother-like figure. And I want to read this from CT Magazine in 2024. And it says, "The vast majority of American Christians were raised in the faith, and most can point to the influence of their moms. In a 2023 study, the American Bible Society found that a majority of believers remain in the same religious tradition as their mothers." This agrees with a large body of mainstream social science research dating back to the 70s that says the active faith of mothers is a strong predictor of religious transmission. Some of this may be attributed to the natural bond children have with their mothers, but there is also research that shows that moms take a more active role in faith formation in America. Can we say thank you, moms? Amen. Well, today, again, we're going to look at three that were really powerful in their faith as they were raising their children. They're exceptional, and again, I hope they'll encourage you and encourage us as a whole. So first, we're going to look at this first idea, and this is Moses' mom. Her husband's name is Amram, and her name is Jochebed. And here's what I want you to think about this, especially in our times, and Esther had us pray already today for our political leaders. Jochebed is going to choose God over government. Now, hopefully not all the time you have to choose God over government, right? Sometimes God and government are in agreement, and that's awesome. But sometimes they're not. And I want you to see the powerful faith that, as Rick even prays over our offering this morning, that our faith would be put into action. We're going to see Jochebed had faith that was put into action. So look with me in verse 2 through 10. I'll be reading NIV here. Verse 1 through 10 of chapter 2. About Jochebed. "A man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. And when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. And his sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Verse 5. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister, that being the baby's sister, asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. So the girl, Moses' sister, went and got the baby's mother, Jochebed, at verse 9. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. And when the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she named him Moses, saying, "I drew him up out of the water." You guys know the story. It's pretty incredible. Jochebed loves this baby, her son, so much that she risks her own life for his life, okay? Moses is going to become one of the greatest men to ever live, but he would have never lived if his mother was not willing to disobey the government to save his life. Did you catch that? A lot of times we want to attribute the success of some people, like, oh, they're such an amazing person, but how many things had to happen for that person to get to that place, right? And here the same is true about Moses. Now, to give you a little bit of context, look back in chapter 1 and verse 20, and if you guys read this scripture, you'll see, you guys, we've been studying, we did a study on Joseph on Wednesday nights, right? And then Joseph, he dies, and the Israelites are all living in Egypt, and the Bible says there, a Pharaoh rose up who knew not Joseph. In other words, this Egyptian ruler, he didn't know the Israelites of the past, and all he could see was a massive amount of people who were getting to take over his country, and he didn't like it. So they started to enslave the Israelites, but then they went a little bit further. They got to another place where they said, we can't have this many Israelites in our country, so here's what we're going to do. We want that Israelite midwives to kill the boys that they're born. Can you imagine, right? The command that went out that the Israelite boys should be killed when they were born. So look in verse 20. The scripture says, God was kind to the midwives, and the people increased and became even more numerous. And because the midwives did what? They feared God. He gave them families of their own. And then Pharaoh gave this order to all his people, every Hebrew boy that is born, you must throw into the Nile, but let every girl live. This is the context that Jochebed has a child in. Can you imagine? What would it be if we said in our country that every American boy should be slaughtered and be thrown into the Mississippi or the Ohio or whatever? We can't even fathom that way of thinking, can we, right? But that's how desperate and how wicked this ruler was. Jochebed decides she is not going to obey that rule. She's going to break that rule for the life of her son. And so what does she do? She makes him a boat. What's Moses' name mean again? I drew him up out of the water, amen, right? That would be your whole life. That'd be a good thing to remember about your name, right? That your mom cared so much about you, she risked her own life, made you your own little bulrushes boat, put you down in the Nile River to spare your life. Pharaoh's daughter comes by, and guess who happens to be standing around on the bank of the Nile? Moses' sister, Miriam, as Esther shared. Miriam's keeping an eye on things. That's my baby brother over there. I'm going to check this out. I want to see what happens. And the next thing you know, Pharaoh's daughter hears Moses. Good thing Moses was a crier, right? She hears that little baby, and she goes, and instead of wanting to destroy that child, what does she do? What most probably young ladies might do, right? Oh, he's so cute. And then Miriam knows, this is my chance. And she jumps in and she says, hey, would you like me to find someone to nurse this child for you and to take care of this? Oh, that would be great. Why don't you do that? And so who is Miriam going to go get to nurse the baby? His mom! Isn't the Lord amazing? Right? The Lord delivers because of her faith, because of her boldness. Even she's willing to risk her life. The Lord favors Jochebed, and she ends up getting to nurse her own son and get paid for it on top of it. Incredible, right? That's the story of Jochebed, and that is her level of faith. Again, what I wanted you to see in the end of chapter 1, which also holds true for Jochebed, is the Israelite midwives, they feared the Lord, and the Lord blessed them for it. Jochebed feared the Lord, and the Lord blessed them for it. While it is right and good to honor our government, it is more important to fear the Lord. We love our moms when they choose to fear God above all things, especially when it comes to raising their children. Okay, I'm talking to you moms now, and grandmas, and mother figures. Amen? Choose to fear the Lord over all things. Moms, please continue to teach us what it means to be bold in fearing the Lord. Any of you have a bold mom? I'm a firstborn, so by nature, you probably don't believe this about me, but I am pretty much a rule follower. You tell me to do something, I'm going to do it. So my junior summer, I get a job, and I get that job at Bibles and Books at Watkins. Mr. Watkins was my boss. He was kind of a grouchy man. He wanted things a certain way, and he expected you, if you signed up, you were to do things a certain way and to be there and be present. So all my life, even before I could be a camper, I had went to church camp every summer. Even with my mom, I just tagged along until in third grade I could go as a camper. From third grade all the way up to my junior year, I had always went to youth camp, and it was a very formative thing for me. A lot of my spiritual growth happened in those intense weeks every summer at youth camp. But that junior summer, I told my mom, I'm not going to be able to go to youth camp this summer because I have a job. What do you think my mom said? Mm-mm. And you guys know my mom. She's like the sweetest, kindest, nicest, whatever person on the planet, right? Not when it comes to spiritual formation. She's like, mm-mm, you are not going to do this minimum wage job for 1 week. You can get off for that week so you can go and be where you need to be. And so I hate to admit it, but my mom helped me get that week off so I could go to youth camp. That's the kind of boldness that she had. My brother, Corey, he was a little ornery, a little stubborn. I can say that about him. He talks about me in his sermons all the time, too, so it's not a problem. My brother Corey, he was going to do his own thing when it came his senior year. He had it all figured out. My mom had went to this Bible college, and I went to that Bible college. And Corey's like, mm-mm, not doing that. My mom decided that he was going to go to the Bible college. Where do you think he went? He went to Bible college. So this wonderful, sweet, kind person that you guys know is really actually has a strong will when it comes to spiritual formation. And it wasn't just that she was making him go to Bible college. It was that her desire was for him to pursue the Lord, and she knew that was the place where he needed to be to grow. And guess what? Corey is actually doing probably the best of all out of us right now. He is seriously pursuing Jesus with all his heart and all his life. Aren't you proud of moms who teach us to be bold? Again, Jochebed not only did the right thing by Moses, but she was blessed of the Lord because of it, and she would nurse her son at the request of Pharaoh's daughter. All right, let's switch over again. Our next character I want you to see this morning is Hannah. Look over in 1 Samuel in chapter 1. 1 Samuel in chapter 1. Michael said that we talked about grace in Sunday school. In his class, he did. We did in our class. Anybody know what Hannah's name means? Grace. So if you hear somebody named Hannah Grace, they're just actually called Grace Grace. All right. Hannah is another mom who can teach us something powerful. Let's look together in 1 Samuel in chapter 1, and we're going to jump down into verse 9 and go 9 through 18. And let's learn a little about Hannah and about how moms that inspire us know how to pray it out, to pray it out. Look in verse 9. The scripture says, once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow, saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. Verse 12, as she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli, that's the priest, he observed her mouth. And verse 13, Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk, and he said to her, how long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine. Verse 15, not so, my Lord, Hannah replied. I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Hang on just a second there. Verse 15, what was she doing? She was pouring out her soul to the Lord. Verse 16, do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. Eli answered, go in peace and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. And she said, may your servant find favor in your eyes. And then she went her way, ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. You guys know the story of Hannah a little bit. I don't want to go too far into this, but just give you a reminder of the context. Hannah had a husband, but back in these days, again, strange times, we're glad we don't have these times now, he had two wives. And his other wife was having children, and that wife, she used to really push on Hannah and kind of degrade her that she didn't have any children. And so every year they would go to the Lord's temple, and Hannah would come, but Hannah would not have any kids. And every year she would pray, and she would cry out to the Lord, and things were just not happening. A lot of our moms have been persistent in prayer. Aren't you thankful for that? What I want you to see here about Hannah is she gets to the point here where she finally just prays out from her soul and begs the Lord to move. In 1 Samuel 1, we see her desperation. She begs God to move on her behalf, and she is weeping while she prays. Have you ever been around a mom who weeps? I can take a lot of things, but my mom's crying. It's, what do you want? What can I do? How can I help you? You know, right? I don't like my mom crying. But you guys, I would tell you just about most of you in here, not everyone, but most of you in here have had a mom or a grandma who's been crying and praying for your spiritual formation. And can I beg you, moms and grandmas here today, don't stop crying and praying for the spiritual formation of your kids and your grandkids and the people that you're a mother figure for. We all need it. Now, the rest of you may be thinking, well, I'm off the hook. It's just for moms. Hey, the rest of us can be praying and crying and weeping for the spiritual formation of the people that God puts in our life, right? And so that's what we want to be. If you follow the story, Eli is the priest of the temple. Hannah is praying, but she's kind of like, she gives like prayer requests like you give. Her mouth is moving, and it's so quiet, and Eli's like, what is going on with this lady? I don't hear anything coming out. I just see her mouth moving. I think she's drunk. And so he goes to kind of chastise her a little bit and kick her out of the temple. But Hannah, she then shares her grief with Eli. And what's amazing to me is then Eli, his whole countenance changed, and he blesses her. And then Hannah does a couple things. One thing, I think this is powerful to me too. She thanks Eli for his favor, for his blessing. And then she goes and she has a bite to eat. You're going to think this is silly. I'm going to tell you, but I think this is part of it. When you're in intense grief and you've had no sleep and you haven't eaten anything, and when you finally give it to the Lord and give the burden to the Lord, it is not a bad thing to get a little rest and go get a bite to eat and to change what's going on. Amen? And that's what Hannah does. And as soon as she does that, the scripture says, when she goes away, she's no longer downcast. She doesn't have a child yet. She doesn't even know the future. But she has given her burden fully to the Lord, and the Lord, through Eli, has blessed her and said, may God's favor rest upon you. What a big thing that you might be to someone else to give God's favor to them by blessing them and saying, I'm going to pray the Lord will be with you. And that's what Eli here does for Hannah, and she leaves a different person. Now you guys know the rest of the story, amen? Okay? In the rest of the story, you know that Samuel will be the son of Hannah And in my opinion, he will be the greatest judge in Israel, and his life will be directed by a praying mother. Samuel's a great man, but he wasn't a great man by himself. Amen? His mom might have been a little greater than he was. Hello? We have people in the background in our lives. Can you hear the Lord speaking today? Sometimes we feel like it's all on us. It's about us. It's about what we did. It's about our decisions. It's about our choices. I'm here to tell you today, it's not all that. A lot of the reason you are where you are is because some people have been pouring to the Father on your behalf, and you have no clue. Because they love you, and they want to see God do great things in your life. And you're like, oh, did you see that way I resisted temptation? I'm amazing. Well, if you got the whole picture and you realized who all was surrounding you with prayer for that to happen, you would kind of step back a little bit like, thank you, right? Hannah was praying for Samuel, and part of the reason he was who he was because his mother cried out to the Lord on his behalf. Moms, in your desperation, please continue to teach us how to pray. Teach us to cry out to God when we hurt and to seek him in our anguish. Teach us to pray desperate prayers and not to worry about what others may think who are around us. Teach us to never stop praying for God's work in our lives and the lives of our children. Hannah's name means grace, and God used grace of Hannah to pour it out on her son and then through him to bless a whole entire nation. May we seek God's throne for mercy and grace in our time of need, just like Hannah did. All right, a last person this morning. This is crazy. Your preacher's never done this early. I got to extend it out. We're going too fast. The Syrophoenician woman. This is one of my favorite stories in all the Bible. It's just a little paragraph. It's a quick little thing. But I want you to, you don't ever see Jesus like this, almost never in the Gospels. But I want you to look at who Jesus is in this little paragraph. And I want to challenge you today to be bold in your faith, to be bold in asking the Lord to do great things in your family and in your church family. If you'd like to, turn over to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 21 is where we're going to start. Also, the story of the Canaanite woman or the Syrophoenician woman is also in the book of Mark, so we have two Gospels that kind of get the full picture. But let's look together today in Matthew 15 and verse 21. Boldly asking for Jesus' help. Boldly asking for Jesus' help. Verse 21, Matthew writes, "Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And a Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, 'Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and she is suffering terribly.'" Verse 23, "Jesus did not answer a word." Let that sink in for a second. Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and they urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." Verse 24, he answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." Verse 27, "Yes, it is, Lord," she said. "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed at that moment. I wish I was even a tenth of hungry for the Lord's work as this woman was. What does a mom care about the most, the normal mom, an average mom? Might care about her work, yeah. Probably cares about her home and how it looks. Maybe cares about her appearance. But why do we call them mama bears? Right? Yeah. Now, Wendy can get on Isaiah and Brooklyn pretty good. But one of you criticize Isaiah and Brooklyn? You really want to see Mama Bear? See Grandma Bear. You get on Isaiah or Brooklyn in front of Nana. We're all stepping back. Right. Is that true for most families, right? Because the love is so strong for our children, amen? And our desire is so strong for them to pursue and to know the Lord. Everything else pales in comparison. And that is true for this woman. Her daughter is in a terrible, terrible state. She is possessed of a demon, and she is showing the effects of a demon in her life. And so this Canaanite woman is coming to Jesus. Now, I want to get that in your mind just a little bit. You guys know the story of the woman at the well, right? She was a Samaritan. She was a Samaritan. We don't associate with Samaritans. They're less than, right? This woman's not even half an Israelite. She's not even a Samaritan. She's full Canaanite. She's complete Gentile, like us. And she's coming to Jesus. Now, what strikes me, and I just can't get past this, she's coming and she's crying and she's wailing after Jesus. She knows where to go, doesn't she, right? We heard this little funny guy last night, Wendy and I did, and he was talking about a friend of his. Instead of saying he was sending prayers, he said he was sending good vibes. And he was like, here's your good vibes. I'm going to tell you, I don't need any good vibes from any of you. I need you to go to the Almighty God who can make a change and have him on your behalf and on my behalf to come and interact in my life. I don't want your good vibes. Give me prayer. And that's what she does. She comes crying out to Jesus because he's the one who can heal her in that situation. She knows where to go. Cries out to Jesus. What's Jesus' response? Does he say, oh, I'm so sorry. Let's go look at her. Let's go check it out. Does he say, oh, let's sit down and talk about it in here? This is the hardest thing for me. Jesus doesn't even answer her, Nick. What's up with that? When we think of Jesus, we think of him as the most compassionate and the kindest person and the most loving person, and he is silent. This woman is wailing and crying because her little baby is so sick. She knows where to go. She goes to him, and he doesn't respond. Why? Because Jesus is about to do something amazing in her life. Hello? You ever been to the Lord and he didn't respond? Ooh, I'm sorry. I know some of you have. You've been crying out for your baby and your grandbaby and your neighbor and your cousin and your friend, and you're like, Lord, you're the one who can fix this. And you're like, Jesus is quiet. Where is he at? What's this woman do? I know what I would have done because I'm terrible. I would have been like, he doesn't want to talk to me. I'm going to go someplace else. I'm going to go somewhere else. But what does she do? She follows him around. Don't you love that? In her persistence, in her love for her child, she does not quit pursuing the Lord. She will not quit. What do the disciples say? What do they want? Can't be the disciples are like, could you get this crazy woman out of here? She's crying and making noise and disturbing the peace. Can we just get her out of here, Jesus? You're not talking to her. Let's get it over with. And here's what I love about this woman. She doesn't care what people think about her. When your baby is sick, you don't care what people think about, do you? You have one goal, and that is for them to be healed. Let us pray to the Lord with that kind of desperation, that kind of persistence. He's the one who can make a difference. Now, and again, immediately, Jesus doesn't make it all better right away, does he, right? Again, this girl's demon-possessed. She's suffering terribly. I think many of us have found ourselves in situations where our children are in desperate need of help, and the mother is coming to Jesus because she has nowhere else to turn. Again, I would say this morning, moms, the world may call you crazy for praying and seeking Jesus for your kids, but please don't ever stop crying out to him for their salvation. You may think he is quiet, but he is listening. I promise you he's listening. So Jesus does finally answer, but even his answer is not the nicest answer, is it? You guys that know the story. He says, he didn't say woman, I'm saying woman. He says, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jesus says, I'm only sent to the Israelites, and you're not a Israelite. You're a Canaanite. I'm sorry. Really, you're not part of my purpose, not what I'm here for. I don't think I'm going to help you, is the tone that I, when I read here from Matthew, right? So then the mother, she comes back, and here's what is powerful to me in the scripture. She says that She comes and she bows at his feet. She kneels down at his feet. Again, she could have done so many things, but she knows the only place to go, and that's to be with Jesus. And so then Jesus gives this answer, and it just blows me away, and I'm just like so struck. Like, how could he say this? Jesus says to this woman, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. If you guys know the scriptures in Philippians 3, we see that Paul calls the Gentiles there, he calls the Judaizers dogs. It's kind of a really derogative term for a non-Jew. Jesus says to this woman, it's not right to take the children's bread and to toss it to the dogs. He didn't listen to her at first, what she thought. And here he's basically saying, I'm not here for the Canaanites, I'm only here for the house of Israel, and it's not right for me to take the kids' bread and give it to the dogs. Who's saying this? This is Jesus. But he knows what he's going to pull out of her. And by the way, 2,025 years later or so, around that amount, we're still talking about this Syrophoenician woman. Her name's in infamy, isn't it, right? Her story is in infamy. Now here's where I almost fall out. If Jesus said that to me, I'd cry and walk away. I'm done. You just called me a dog. You just said you wouldn't help me. You wouldn't give me the bread because you're only for this and I don't qualify and I'm not good enough. And what does this incredible woman say to Jesus? Come on, you pet lovers, you animal lovers. What does she say? Even the dogs, Jesus, get crumbs from the master's table. Woo! Isn't that amazing? Where does that come from? Again, am I so weak in my faith, I'm like, oh, I'm out of here. But this mom, her faith is so amazing. In the moment, she says, Jesus, if you can just give me a crumb, I will be okay. Aren't you thankful for moms who ask for crumbs? For moms who are wise enough to say, Lord, if you could just give me a little bit, it'll be okay. And then what's Jesus say? He's not quiet anymore. He doesn't talk about being just for the lost sheep of Israel. He doesn't say anything about the children's bread. He says, woman, you have great faith. And what happens to her baby girl? He heals her immediately. Oh, man. It's hard sometimes when the Lord is quiet, isn't it? I know some of your hearts. I know you have children and you have grandchildren who are far from the Lord. And you've been praying and you've been crying and you've been weeping. And you're like, Lord, where are you? And I want to tell you today, He is listening. Moms, teach us, don't quit praying. Don't quit crying. Don't quit counting the most important things as the most important things. We need to see it. You encourage us and you challenge us and you remind us that we need to be praying for the big things. So here's what I put down to finish up this list here of this Syrophoenician woman who's one of my heroes. Moms, please don't quit on us. And you can feel like quitting, and we get that, but don't quit on us. Don't quit bringing us to the feet of Jesus. Mom, bring your little girl, your little boy, your grandbaby, your granddaughter, bring them to the feet of Jesus. Even when you don't get an answer right away, bring them to the feet of Jesus. Don't quit seeking our healing, even when you feel like you're being tested. Don't quit teaching us to be persistent in seeking an answer from the Lord. You are our heroes, and we love you for it. Oh, moms, you're awesome. If you don't tell your mom how awesome she is today after this, I'm coming to your house. Aren't moms good to us? So many. And I know everybody has a different experience, but for those of you who have a faithful mom who prayed for you and loved you, you better be praising the Lord for them. And if they're still on the planet, you better be talking to them and thanking them and doing special things for them. Okay, today we see three incredible moms with crazy, and I think it is crazy faith. The faith of this Syrophoenician woman, how she stood around in that time, it blows my mind. the kind that changes lives. And if you will with me this morning, bear with me, Moses and Samuel, because of their mothers, their lives changed a nation. The whole course of a nation was changed by Jochebed and by Hannah. Wow, right? Today the Lord is calling all of us, not just moms, to do these things. First thing this morning, obey the Lord, obey him above all things. Just like Jochebed, always put God first. That's not just for moms today. That's for everybody that's here. Put God first. Second thing, pray in desperation. And we've been doing Wednesday nights in the book of Jonah. We saw Jonah's in the belly of the whale, and what does he do? He cries out, God, you got to help me. I'm in a world of hurt. Church, pray in desperation. God answers those prayers of desperation. When things are hard, turn your heart to the Lord. And then the third thing today, and that what I'm challenged from that Canaanite woman, be persistent. It's not just one request, one time. It's usually not just one prayer. Make some noise. Make those religious people uncomfortable. Don't give up on getting an answer from the Lord. I would love to hear you share with us every week a prayer for people that you love that are far from God. And I hope that some people in the room would be like, oh, I can't believe it. Here they go again about this same thing. And I pray that you would teach us to be persistent in that prayer until the Lord delivers or answers or works in that situation. Amen. Be obedient. Pray in desperation. Be persistent. Let's stand this morning. We ask our musicians to come. Moms, today, I want to give you an open invitation. I know it's not always easy, but moms, if you want to come and pray at this altar and pray like Hannah prayed for your children or your grandchildren or the kids that you're being a mother figure in their life, feel free to come up and pray. Feel free to tap someone on the shoulder and say, would you come pray with me for the people that I love? And again, don't be afraid of what the people in the room think. Jochebed didn't care. Hannah didn't care. The Syrophoenician woman didn't care. They were going to the Lord to get an answer. So if God is speaking to your heart today and you want to come and pray, please pray. Now, today, if you haven't found the Lord, we want to make so clear the whole point of going to Jesus is he's the one with the answers. Amen? And so if you're hurting today and you're in a desperate situation, maybe we don't know your whole story. We don't know what's going on. And you want to come down here and pray today, and you come to the feet of Jesus and cry out and say, Lord, can I just get a crumb? If I can get a crumb, I'll be okay. And we want to pray with you, and we want to pray the Lord's blessing in your life. Let's take a moment.